I'm sure you've probably noticed, but English isn't always the most precise language. We don't always speak with precision in English. Now, when it comes to things like scientific study, we do. But it's not like some other languages. Some other languages are much more precise. Kind of the common example you'll hear, I don't know if this is true or not, but that the Eskimo languages have 50 words for snow. Feels like we have that many here in Montana. I just learned a new one the other day when we had our little had a storm come through, Graupel. And it's softer than sleet, and it's nowhere near as hard as hail, and it's not snow either. It's kind of a weird mix of sleet and snow and rain. But I just learned that word because we just had it the other day, had it fall the other day. So we do have precision, but English, even though it borrows from so many other languages, kind of mixes up words sometimes. And we kind of have different definitions for the same word. And one of those words is the word love. We use the word love in English for what the Greek language, the ancient Greek language, would use for four words. And of course, we use love for things like, I would love a big dish of ice cream right now, to the love between a husband and a wife. That's quite the range of differences. And so we hear our Lord speaking about love today, and we can't, and it should be our initial reaction should be, what sense of love is our Lord talking about? Now, clearly our Lord isn't talking about the love that we would have for a dish of ice cream, as much as we might really, really enjoy ice cream. Obviously, our Lord is talking about a much more serious sense of love than that. And we see this also in the second reading, this word love. Our Lord in the gospel says, love one another as I love you. And again, that's one of those things that should kind of trigger in our memories. Oh yeah, this is like the second great commandment of our Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I love you. I do think kind of our nature, our instinct, is to look at love as the emotional reaction. When we talk about loving one another, is the emotional reaction we might have towards another person. An attraction, liking another person, wanting to be around another person, maybe even romantic love. Obviously, our Lord isn't talking about romantic love. He's not talking about that level of love. And he's not talking about a desire or a preference. He's talking about something deeper, deeper than any of those. What he is talking about, the love that is totally uncompromising, total uncompromising self-gift. The willingness to give of ourselves totally to another person. As our Lord says, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. The love that our Lord is talking about is that love. The love that led him to the cross. The love that led him to give his life for us. That's the love we are to have for one another. The willingness to give of ourselves so totally that we will give even our very lives. It's that love that allows us to sacrifice ourselves for another. You know, we can think of those heroes, whether they're military or first responder or a family member or a friend who gave their life so that someone else might live. That's the kind of love that we are to have. As we see in the second reading from the first letter of John, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as expiation for our sins. That is a deep love. That is a difficult love to have one another. That's the love that allows us to say, you know, I might not like that person. There are certain politicians, I think we could all give a list of politicians that we might feel that way. But I still have to love them. I may not like that person in our community. I might not like that person in our parish. I might not like that person in my family. But I still have to love them. I have to be willing to give of myself for them. That's the love we are called to have. It's being willing to give everything for the good of another, even our very lives. Now, when we talk about giving of ourselves for the good of another, this isn't what the world thinks is good. This isn't what our culture thinks is good. This isn't what our government thinks is good. It's what God thinks is good. It is the good willed by God for another. So sometimes this good that we will for another doesn't feel very good. It doesn't give us those pleasant, warm feelings because it might not be what they want and it might not be what we want, but it's what God wants for them. And of course, the ultimate good that God wants for us is salvation. He wants us to come to Him and He wants us to bring others to Him. As our Lord says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. That's what God wants for us. And it's interesting, there was an interview I saw a few years ago, and I know I've mentioned this before, but if you're familiar with the magicians, Penn and Teller, they do kind of these comedy magic skits. One of them talks, one doesn't. Penn is the one that talks, Penn Jillette. He's a staunch atheist. I mean, I think you could call him an evangelical atheist. Like, he's trying to evangelize for atheism. That's the kind of atheist he is. But he said in an interview a few years ago that he received a letter from a Christian basically saying, I'm not going to push my faith on you. His response is interesting. Penn Jillette in this interview said, how much you must hate me. If you believe that we are called to this salvation, and that is the ultimate good we can have in our lives. I mean, this is paraphrasing what he said. The ultimate good that you can have in our lives. How much you must hate me that you don't want me to have it. You don't want to offer it to me. Now, of course, we know he's not going to accept it, but it's still our job. Because there are people who have been atheists in recent years who have either started to move towards Christianity or have become themselves Christians and Catholics specifically because of the example of Christians offering this gift of salvation. It should be our desire that all receive the joy of Christ and that we offer it to them. That is what the ultimate good is for them, what we should be willing to give our lives for, that they receive this joy of Christ in their lives and the salvation. And that this love that we are called to offer is an unconditional love. We know that God shows no partiality, as Peter said in the first reading. We should be willing to do the same. Yes, again, we might not like the person we're talking to. We might not want much to do with the person we're talking to. But we should still offer that love to them and let them reject it. Just as God unconditionally offers His love to us and allows us to reject Him. And bear in mind, we do. Every time we fall into sin, that is a rejection of God. But every time we turn back to Him, we receive His love. He fills us with His love. So these readings this morning should be an examination to us. Are we offering that love, that unconditional self-giving love that God offers to us, that led our Lord to the cross? Are we offering that to our neighbor, to our family, to our friends, to that person down the street that their dogs bark all night and day and you're tired of it? Are we offering that love to everyone unconditionally? May the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us in offering that love to all around us.